listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Nothing friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from textile to gossip.
Well, hello there, LA Talk Radio. This is Tamara Montana and Greg Montana. We're filling in for Max Tucci tonight. We want to give a shout out to him and say, Max, we hope you're having a great time at the wedding you're attending right now. And we just want to invite everybody who's listening in tonight and or downloading this message. We just want to give a warm welcome to you joining us here at Max and Friends in the Inner Circle, where people do get to say what they want. They get to say what's on their heart, what's on their mind. And if you feel so inclined, Greg and I would love for you to call in. The number is 323-203-0815. And we are right smack dab in the middle of summer here, just feeling the heat and feeling the love and feeling the tensions that come up around relationships. And I know one of the things that Max was wanting to extend out into the conversation was, what happens when you've been married for years and there's cheating going on? Do you repair or do you release? And this is something that Greg and I are very much concerned about. We have an affinity towards relationships and having them thrive, having them work out as we work out our own relationship on a daily basis, which started out at such a beautiful, sweet time of inquiry and seeking what God had in store for us. And so we know that our union is definitely one that was brought together by the hand of God, and we listen to Spirit and are led, and we grow and we evolve as we trigger each other's buttons and definitely definitely work towards being better people all the time. Greg, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's beautiful to have found a person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, but man, relationships are definitely proving grounds for self-improvement and evolution. You know, everyone there knows you're in a relationship, you've got someone that you're madly in love with, and all that passion is going to take some crazy turns and twists. And, you know, when it gets out of control, people can reach outside the relationship. So what we want to talk about today a little bit, because Tamara's been through it. She's had a marriage end because someone decided they were going to cheat and latch on to their ex. And I haven't had that much experience, except I can tell you one thing. I ended a relationship just before I became a monk for 8 years, and it was the nail in the coffin for me at that point in my life. So we both have had the pain of what happens when somebody cheats on you. It's not something that either of us have really talked too much about. And we want to talk to you about why that is. What is it that could be causing cheating? What can you do to minimize the possibilities and make your relationship last a long, long, beautiful time? So starting out, you know, let's take a look, Tamara, a little bit about what is it that, you know, for men and women, and maybe you can mention a little bit about women. I know you have some beautiful philosophy and insight about, you know, women and how they treat their man and how that might start leading their man to start looking outside the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, when you're together in a relationship, it is the potential for the most holy ground, most holy experience of all time. And when there is a breakdown in the relationship, so you start out, because everybody starts out with the best intentions, and you're listening, and you're curious, and you're attentive, and you're appreciative, you cherish the person that you're with. And when expectations are not fulfilled, like you expect someone to be a certain way and they don't show up that way, it can cause for conflict or a rift when they don't meet your ideal fantasy. And what can happen is a lot of conflict and cutoff. And then that very thing that you are so in love with, if you think somebody else is going to do it for you, they sure start looking great. And then starts that curiosity again and those intense eye contacts and excitement and connection with people that you think can potentially fulfill every one of your desires and your dreams. And because sex for men in general, sex is like food for your soul, and it's not necessarily the case for women, however pleasurable and wonderful that is. One of the things you don't ever want to do, regardless of how the relationship is withhold from that. And one of the things is to really be aware, be awake, and notice how you're treating the person that's closest to you and how you're treating the people that are just acquaintances or friends or strangers. Because one of the things that can give the message out more than anything is to intensely engage with someone else outside of the primary relationship in a way that makes them think that there's an opportunity for them. So one of the really important things I would encourage in all relationships is that we have the potential to love the entire world through one person and with one person. And that's not to say that you wouldn't fall in love with every single person you meet. I mean, Max and I have both just had wonderful experiences with our guests and with each other, and the excitement of, you know, getting to know people. There's an innocence in that that is beautiful. And then there's something that you leave set aside that is absolutely sacred, that really is an exchange of being cherished, of being loved with the person that you're closest with. When you obtain that, that's what I was talking about in the beginning, about a holy relationship and the potential for knowing you and being able to extend in a trickle-down effect in the world. When you hone the ability to actually love another completely, it's as if you heal generations of pain and you pass forward what's possible for other people. Because it doesn't serve you in your relationships to shrink back and say, oh yeah, relationships are just really hard. They're just really tough. And I can see why you're so upset. And, you know, it doesn't serve the world to paint a story or to dumb down your relationship as being less than, so that other people feel comfortable around you. What's important, I believe, is to pay attention to the story that you're experiencing with your partner in private as well as in public. I mean, if you literally there is a continuity that's available inside of love in private as well as in public. And I think when you can master being able to be consistent in both, you have the potential of loving the entire world through the sacred relationship in which you're in.
So I know you've mentioned before that men are like microwaves and women are like crockpots, especially when it comes to sex, and that men respond to praise and women really respond to being cherished. So for a man, I mean, I know, you know, for most guys, it's like, well, if you want to get your husband's, you know, a little fired up, for most men, it's just like, just strip. If you're naked, he's probably ready. Guys are often like that, especially if you're in a married relationship. And that's, I think, what you mean when you say women are like, or men are like microwaves. And women are like crockpots. So for guys, you know, it's like, it starts in the morning. If you want to have sex at night, it's, you want to really start, you know, like giving flowers and compliments and letting them know that tonight's going to be a really wonderful experience and how much you cherish her. And so for guys, you know, sex is how a woman expresses and shows that she loves. For a girl, I think for women, they have to feel loved first, and then out of gratitude, there's that intimacy. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely, that's true. And I love when you talked about how men are like microwaves and women are like crockpots, because men can be instantaneously turned on without even having the love component present, whereas women cannot. And what we talk about in women being like crockpots, you turn them on in the morning, And you turn them on by letting them know that they are it for you, that they are like, wow, loved and cherished by you, and that there's no other woman that comes or compares to the love relationship that you're in. So when a husband, a man, a partner, it doesn't matter the genders, your lover in life, when you can wake up and turn to them and just ooze with love, I mean, that's turning on the crock pot in the morning and saying, wow, I am so lucky to be with you. And to really set aside knowing that person and every nuance about them, no matter how many years that you've been together, there's always going to be something new, some glimmer, some shimmering light of expression that maybe you haven't seen before. When you're open to loving fully and sacredly one other, whereas if you wake up and you're comparing them to other people, there's no support, there's not encouragement, there's not this I'm with you, I'm standing with you, let's look at the challenges in life together. But when you stand off and you square off and you attack your partner, I think that there's either a huge opportunity to retreat, and definitely, as the saying goes, the closer you are to God, the closer you are to each other. It's not so much the closer you are to each other that works as much as it does with your relationship with God or your relationship with the universe or universal intelligence. Whatever form of spirit is important to you, to summons that. And there's always an opportunity when your partner isn't present, isn't encouraging, isn't supportive, that when they do want to just put you down because for some reason they think it's going to make them feel better because they're insecure or whatever the reason, the opportunity remains for you to connect vertically with your higher power and know that your worth doesn't have to hinge off of what your partner thinks of you, but is absolutely enhanced when your partner thinks that you are amazing, that you're incredible, and that they look at you with eyes of love, and that you know that within them there's a soft place to land, and you know that you're going to be received. There is nothing better on this earth for me knowing that there's a soft place to land, that somebody's with you in this world.
So now what do you do, you know, because you mentioned going to your higher power, and, you know, I either go within or I go to you. I'm either going to go to my higher power or to you. The problem comes is when you turn to someone else. You're like, I got to get some outside advice. Now, if you're going to go to a psychotherapist or a qualified, you know, somebody that really understands boundaries, that's fine to get advice that you're then going to share with your spouse. But the time to look out is when you're starting to look outside of that relationship for fulfillment. Because, you know, it's like, all right, so if I have a difficulty with Tamara, I'm always coming back to her. And I'll be honest with you guys, usually with my mouth shut and my arms open. And that's what works most of the time when I've got something brilliant to say that is just not healing. You know, it's like we want to try and hit the nail on the head. Well, I figured out what the truth is. You know, when love is waning, truth doesn't mean as much as expressions of love, stating the raw truth, not appreciated. So, you know, I've gotten tremendous mileage off just coming back and saying, you know what, I love you. And if you're not feeling, you know, all those feelings that Tamara is talking about, if they're not genuinely like right there at the surface, then you can at least state your intentions. You know, this marriage is so important to me and I love you so much. And I have memories, you know, there's times when I've sat down with Tamara and just reviewed the beautiful, brilliant moments during a tough time, beautiful, brilliant moments that we've shared together. And it has pulled things out of that rut, because that's my intention, is that the rest of our lives be that way. And, you know, looking outside the relationship, I think is one of the huge issues. Now, you were mentioning that, you know, that for men, it's a little easier. And I was just reminiscing on, if you look at the animal kingdom, you know, women are typically, the female of a species is typically way more loyal, it seems, than the male. You know, look at buck. A buck will go out and he'll just, you know, hit on a doe and then hit on another one and move on to the next one, just kind of go through. Ducks are loyal for life. There's a lot of animals where the male just, you know, lions and buck and a lot of the animals that we admire, a lot of the species that we admire, aren't all that noble when it comes to relationships. And a lot of times, you know, I remember talking to someone who was secretly sharing that she knew her husband was having an affair and he didn't think that she knew. And she said, you know, I just don't even think that men are monogamous. I think women are monogamous and men aren't. So do you find, Tamara, because you've worked with so many couples and so many people that struggle with this, that there is a, you know, that people are truly, I mean, I believe that human beings are truly monogamous, like ducks. We as a species judge each other based on how our relationships work and how, you know, as a species, we expect that the people that we respect are going to stay in one relationship. We're not out there, you know, feeling really good about somebody who spills outside the relationship with their intimate energies. So what have you seen as far as the, you know, the tendencies in relationships? Does it make any difference if you're a man or a woman? Are men in more danger of, you know, hormonal attacks that lead to that kind of stag, you know, hormonal attack or behavior? Or do you find that it's pretty much across the boards? And what have you seen are the indicators?
Well, and just to cap on the other species that is monogamous are eagles.
Oh.
Eagles, they mate with one other eagle for life. You know, I would say that was true a long time ago, that men were more, they were more likely to have affairs than women. And that was because I believe that the women took care of the children a lot. Way back, they would stay home. They would take care of the children. I don't think that's the case anymore these days. I think because of birth control, mm-hmm. and because women have the ability to earn and to make their own money and to support themselves and the family. And I believe that it's affairs are equal opportunities for men and women. And it really does go back to your intention and your behavior. You know, you can have good intentions and your behavior be opposite of your intentions too. So I think it's really important to just to wake up and notice how you're landing. And then one of the most important things is to be able to address it, because someone may be having affairs because they do want out of the relationship. And at one point it's very important to address that, you know, the bottom line is that nobody owns somebody else. So if someone is choosing another person, that is not within your control to make it any different. So what you can do is you can address it. You can express your intention. You can express your love. And whatever each individual person is going to do, they're going to do. And to release them, you know, it's kind of like a moot point, in that the bottom line is we're all free. And nobody is bound anything other than by their intentions, their commitments, you know, their what's important to them, what they value, what their virtue is. You know, if loyalty is a huge one, and I love loyalty, and I think that a lot of people get goosebumps when they view loyalty on movie screens, when, you know, a lover comes back to their other lover and says, I'm here and I'm with you and you're not alone. I mean, there's something so powerful to have a partner stand with you, not against you, but with you.
Well, I know you mentioned that you were listening to the radio the other day, and there was a man who had a near-death experience and was sort of in a moment where he was able to look at his life and reflect on it. And in that moment, he ended up downloading sort of into his wife's consciousness and could feel the pain that he had caused her in an affair that he had had, or affairs. And that it was, you know, and on the radio show apparently, and you can say more about it, is he was talking about, had no idea about that pain. Now, for those of us that really, truly are monogamous, I think you probably do know that pain of betrayal, and that's what it feels like when there's infidelity. It's an absolute, like, it just like cracks your heart in a huge way. And the funny thing is, you know, it's like, it's just like murder. It's like, here's somebody that's gonna, you know, act out in rage and end somebody's life. And for them, it's a small, you know, like, all right, I'm gonna do this and move on. And it's like you've ended a life. And when these type of things happen, it's really, you know, it's like talking about walking a mile in the moccasins. It's really good to sit down and find out what it's like. You can read about it, you can research it, you can, you know, really get into it if you're thinking, if your mind's going in that direction. I can tell you, you know, I've been very loyal in every relationship I've had. And as a monk, I was completely celibate for eight years. And people say, well, how'd you do that? I mean, there was no self-sex or anything. And the way I did it was my thoughts. I was 100% responsible for my thoughts. I was not the guy looking at people, looking at women, and especially not looking at them as sex objects or entertaining, you know, those thoughts all day. You can sit there all day and fantasize, and that's where you're in trouble. So it starts on the thought level. If you're going to have loyalty and fidelity in your marriage, then you better make sure that you're not going anywhere outside the marriage in thoughts. Because as a saying, you know, if you spend a lot of time thinking about getting a haircut, you're going to end up at the salon. And if you hang out at the salon long enough, you're going to end up, you know, with a haircut. So, you know, thoughts lead to environmental choices. And environment is stronger than will. And, you know, having worked in recovery, this is the one thing that I drive home. If you're struggling with an addiction, whether it's sex or anything, I'm going to tell you right now a system, a program that will work to get you off your addiction. It works pretty much every time if you practice it religiously. It's not the only way, but here it is. Environment is stronger than willpower. If you have any friends that are taking drugs or talking about cheating or, you know, leading in that direction of sex or, you know, smoking stuff that you don't want to be smoking, and you spend any time with them, your chances of staying clean are minimized. So my recommendation is to really take an inventory of who you're calling friends, especially because 99% of the time, the person you're going to have an affair with is a friend first. You know, someone that you're crossing innocent boundaries with, and then all of a sudden it gets out of control, and you know it. So, you know, there it is. I mean, if you want to right now in your addiction, take a look at the people. I don't care how loyal or long-term or good they are. If they're people that are feeding your addiction, a friend that you smoke pot with that's been your best friend and you only do it occasionally, but you're trying to give it up and they're still smoking, I'm telling you right now, end that relationship, hands down. And if you've got dangerous relationships where there's spillover energy, where there's inappropriate intimacy, tonight's your chance. End those relationships now. You know they're not healthy for your marriage. So I'm going to give you more radical tools, I think, Tamara. You know, we'll definitely talk about the depth of love in the relationships. And if you have any questions or comments, we love the feedback. And the number is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you.
And, you know, on the other side of the coin, too, is I was previously married for 10 years and literally came home, looked at my computer screen and saw an affair that was going on between my husband and his high school prom queen that ended our relationship of 10 years. And I can tell you, it was one of the most devastating experiences ever. And at the same time, today, I'm grateful. I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful for it all. I'm grateful for the experience because it's easy to think in those moments that life is over. And in some sense it is. Life is over as you knew it to be. Life is over as you had planned a future of growing old with someone together. That is over. And there's so many children and even adults that have experience divorce with their parents. And that can be one of the most devastating experiences on this planet. Yet at the same time, it can be a catalyst for cracking you open and allowing you to evolve and expand into a greater being than what you ever would have been prior to the betrayal, prior to the affair, prior to thinking that your whole life was going to work out one way. And that's part of the adventure. And what's so awesome is who I got to be after I didn't want to live for a little while. After that, who I got to become was just surprising to me, because there were relationships that were right in front of me, people that I'd never seen before just appeared, you know, that had been passing in and out of my life that I wasn't as aware as I was when I was in so much pain. And the pain really did leave an enormous gift that allowed my heart to just pour out on paper and write books. I wrote a 350-page book that may be published one day, but for sure one of my children's books, Emerald Echo, Beyond This World, There Is a World I Want, beautiful children's book with the Course in Miracles truths and heart virtues inside of it. And who I got to become, I'm so grateful I didn't miss out on. And I thank my ex-husband today, because in some ways he had the courage to do what I would have never done. And that would have been to...
Now tell him a little bit about how... You said, you know, this devastating pain. Did you just end the relationship on the spot when you found out about it?
It ended in the moment. It did for me. And there was a residual time frame. I literally committed to leaving in love.
Did you... were you interested in working it out if you wanted to?
At that point, it was already down the road so far in that direction. However, I suppose it depends on each individual person. If someone chooses to wake up in such a way that they are literally altered and they see you and cherish you as that love that was brought together initially by God and intends to be, I don't know if I would have been open to that. That I just assumed, and the behavior was, he was in love with someone else. Right. And when he was in love with someone else, he was cruel to me.
Got it.
So it was like he could not be loving, and that's how I knew something was seriously wrong. He had been kind to me for our entire marriage, for 10 years of a marriage.
Well, and when you confronted him, he didn't, from my understanding, he didn't actually say, "Well, I'm sorry and I want it to end." He was on the fence, which is another indicator. So what would you
actually he did. He did say, "Oh my God," when confronted, he didn't want to lose me, and he didn't want to lose the affair either.
Yeah, well that's on the fence for me.
And I said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "You know how I know you can't love two people? Is because how cruel you've been to me in the last 2 months."
Wow.
And he hadn't been that any time prior.
So what would you tell women that are out there now that know, or men that are out there now that know that their spouse is cheating and they don't know what, because you knew, you like confronted him right away, and I know you took You didn't. How long did it go on after you found out?
4 months.
So you knew, and 4 months later you confronted him. Wow. Okay. So do you recommend that if there's people there that aren't sure what to do, if they're on the fence and they're still in shock and they're going through that pain cycle and they haven't let on that they're privy?
Well, part of what happens when an affair is going on is that the spouse is just immune to what's happening with you. It's like a drug. It's like someone who's ever into pornography or into a drug. They're so consumed with that relationship that they don't even notice, which is so odd to me because it was so obvious. It was so apparent. I would take it on a case by case basis. Sometimes it can be dangerous. I know for me, when I started to confront it, he got violent. I've never known him to be violent my entire life, but it brought out such fear in him that he was losing both. And for me to confront it, that I really had to be careful. I had to be careful for my own safety and for you know, really wrapping my brain around the reality of the situation. I just, it took a while to sink in because of how much disbelief I had.
Right. And so do you recommend that people, you know, I mean, they certainly can talk to you, TamaraMontana.com, but if they're going through that, would they want to talk to somebody about it or get clarity first and turn to prayer? Or what do you recommend is that step? Because you came through it. A lot of people come through that experience like heavily scarred. Mm-hmm. Some people never get in another relationship. And yet there was a point where you went through, you know, healing process, and then you were dating and you had some time, and then you finally said, I'm ready to meet my soulmate. So,
well, there was something that happened. When I first found out, I packed up my car and I said, I'm going to see my family. And I drove for hours and I didn't get in till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember rolling down the windows. I didn't want to wake anybody up that late, and I could hear the crickets. And everything was like in slow motion. And I just cried out to God and I said, you know, God, millions of women have been through this before me. Men, women and men, millions and millions of people will go through this after me. What is going to make my experience any different? And there was like a meteorite of an insight that broke through my awareness. And I knew that I was going to leave in love. And this was not going to taint who I was, but it was going to transform me into being loving, because I could have become bitter and hateful and left with just justified, righteous anger. And I made a determination that even as Judas gave Jesus the kiss of betrayal, Jesus still loved him. Yeah. And I said, God, give me that kind of heart. Give me that kind of love. That even as someone kisses you on the cheek with a betrayal, you still loved him back.
And you wrote your book, it was all about forgiveness. And you mentioned that there were times when you were like under the desk writing about that, you know, processing as you were creating a book for children to forgive the bullying that happens to them, as you went through the forgiveness that you decided you were going to be loving about. And that's, you know, we're kind of full circle to where we started, where, you know, life is about evolution. It's about personal evolving, personal growth. And, you know, we get into a marriage, and what's beautiful about marriage, I've found, is that if I've got some little nook or cranny or corner where my ego is hiding out, where my evolution is stuck, where I'm not confronting something, whether it's from a parent or a past trauma, that my marriage is the place where God knows, okay, I've got this guy locked in here and I can work with him on these levels. And it's not something you're doing consciously. It's something where you'll do something innocent and it'll be like, oh my gosh, this is just reminds me of some trauma that I had in the past that I'm rewound to. And all of a sudden, I have a choice to make a new choice. I know you've talked about like perpetrators. When someone's been abused as a child, they will grow up and very frequently repeat that abuse because they're trying to return to that scenario, and they're trying to return to it for healing. So someone that's been perpetrated in childhood will grow up and they'll perpetrate a child because now they're in control. So they're in the same scenario, looking for healing, where they're no longer the victim and now they're in control, but they're actually creating a victim and it's propagating. Instead of evolving and perhaps going to us to volunteer to talk to people who, or even children who have been through that trauma and said, listen, I'm a grown man. I was perpetrated as a child. And I want you to know that you children can grow up, because a lot of times that's what people struggle with. They don't think they can evolve. They don't think they can get past it. Maybe the pain that you've been through, whether someone's cheated on you or whether you've had a divorce, is actually been given to you for evolution, so you could go help people that have struggled with that same pain a little less than you. And, you know, I know there's this saying, third time's a charm when it comes to marriage. So you learn so much in the relationships, whether it's dating or whatever you're going through. In the old school, people got together, they got married, they stayed together for, you know, for life. And I love that. I mean, I'm like, you and I talk about this all the time. It's one of my most beautiful reassurances is, honey, I have no interest outside this relationship. And my hands are full with opportunities with you for evolution, for appreciation, for gratitude. You know, wake up in the morning and this is when I'm feeling just like I'm just failing, which is often the case when there's difficulty in relationship. A guy, and you mentioned both men and women struggle from low self-esteem, but a guy will immediately go into his corner, you know, maybe go in. And I know that's my way, is like go into my cave, right? And it's sort of historically where women may reach out more. And it's so important to reach out and start talking about what's working. You know, like I love that when we go to sleep, we wake up in the morning and it's like a fresh start very frequently. I love holding your hand. I love rubbing your back. I love, you know, I love how cute so many different parts of you are. I just love, you know, those things that I love. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, all right, I'm not in the corner anymore. And now I'm actually able to have a relationship, because you don't want me coming to you and like some weenie that's, you know, in the corner, that's afraid to even reach out with love. So, you know, when do you believe, when it comes to marriage and a lot of the work that you've done, that marriage is, you know, God's institution for self-improvement? Is it more just for the union of two people to share and enjoy life together? Is it a spiritual, you know, opportunity to serve humanity? How do you view it?
Yeah, I think it is a spiritual opportunity to serve humanity, because when you fully love someone completely and you're not using them to re-perpetrate or to reenact your childhood, when you've moved through those phases and there is just a raw, pure beauty of love, of synergistic love that gets exchanged, there's no place else on earth you'd rather be. That is bringing heaven to earth.
And I know you and I have often talked about, you know, when you see a couple walking down the street, the reason you know they're a couple is because they're holding hands. And that's a huge sign. Take a look at how often you sit next to your spouse and do or don't hold hands, or just put your hand on their back. It's one of the things that I've noticed, like when I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, she's upset with me or I did the wrong thing. And a lot of times it's just like an illusion. Sometimes it's not. But if I just, I'm going to reach out with love. And what I love about you is you've never pushed my hand away. If I put my hand on your back or stroke your hair, you know that I'm reaching out with love or reach out for your hand. And you, even if you're upset with me, you can still be upset, but you've never like pulled away from that love. You've said, you know, why did this happen? What's going on? And, you know, and talked about it. But that's so important, I think, for me, because if I felt that you pushed me away, I was like, now what do I do? You know, that's my one thing, is that I'm able to reach out with love, a loving word, a loving, you know, stroke. And you and I are both, you know, our love language is more about touch. You know, there's a lot of different, there's love languages about gift giving and love languages that are about, you know, acts of kindness or acts of service or, you know, words of appreciation. And for you and I, it really is about that contact. Well, you know, whatever your significant other's love language is, that's where you want to touch them with courage, reaching out with love. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, it's the thing that we've seen, you know, like I'll be at Costco and I've asked so many couples, you know, oh, wow, I overheard a couple the other day. I was at Costco. One couple's married for 58 years. The other one said, well, we're married for 61 years. And they're just sitting there sharing a hot dog or whatever, you know, and they're, when you're married that long, you're pretty wrinkled and they're, and one couple was holding hands, you know, 58 years married, still holding hands. And I just like when you and I both, we reach out and we basically say, hey, tell me something. I've been married for a few years. What's the secret? And what we find is the secret is that they usually say something like, compromise or seeing from the other person's perspective. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think that, boy, once you have been together that long, it really does become a dance. And it's a beautiful dance of comfort It's what people love to go to the movies, and one of the number one favorite movies of all times is The Notebook. And, you know, we cry at those movies because of the endearing love and the loyalty. No matter what the other one's going through, it's a stand for, I'm here and I'm with you. Whether you've got Alzheimer's, whether you've got dementia, whether you've got cancer, whether you're successful or whether you failed at a business, or whether you're poor or whether you're rich. I mean, it's all the vows that we stand before each other and say before our family and friends that, hey, I'm in this. And success or failure, we're in it together. And I'm not going to make you pay for if you don't show up in a way that does it for me. It's a beautiful dance that can end up becoming priceless. And one of the things I want to encourage is, if you do have a cheating partner, don't throw away what was beautiful. Don't throw away what was great just because the ending was in betrayal. You can still honor what was beautiful without having to make them ugly, bad, wrong, or nasty, or evil. They've just moved on. They decided to love someone else more than you.
And that's always incredibly painful. And, you know, as I'm hearing you talk about, there are times, you know, look, there's two states. You're either love, you're either in a state where you're expressing love, or you're insane. You know, it's like, that's basically it. And I remind myself of that. And here's what I can always be sure of. Because when I'm not expressing love, when I'm not, you know, training my mind about the gratitudes, which is what keeps me so enrolled and so engaged in my marriage, my mind is off playing other games that are critical and judging. And that's basically it, the three C's that end relationship: criticism, condemning, and complaining. If you got any of that going on, you're insane. And here's how you know. How do you feel? If your feelings are telling you something's off, guarantee you're not in the love zone. Or if you are in the love zone and there's something your spouse is doing that is just causing enormous pain, you know, like that cracked heart from the betrayal and all, then acknowledge the love behind that and get clear about where you stand. You know, one of the things Tamara talks about, The Notebook, that's probably the most common scene, you know, when we do the process of helping people get clarity about where they stand. Because there's huge confusion when people go through these traumas of, you know, a divorce or cheating or even career moves. And there's this huge sort of like confusion that strikes us with all that chaos. Knowing where you stand, which, you know, is the heart virtues work that we do. We ask people, like, what's the movie that gives you goosebumps? What's the book that gives you goosebumps? What's the song that gives you goosebumps? So you can start seeing where you stand when it comes to relationships, where you stand when it comes to life, and these crazy traumatic things that you can navigate through when you have that clarity and a vision for what you want for your life. So love the insight that you're giving. Now, let's talk a little bit about long-term marriage. How do, you know, what do you think is like the top three things for people to practice, exercise, to use as tools in order to ensure that their marriage stays with a very high degree of fidelity and a lifelong relationship? Because, no, like you said, nobody gets into a relationship thinking, yeah, I think I'll go through 25 years and then go through the pain of a divorce. And I'm gonna state straight out, nobody goes through a good divorce. I know there are people, I've heard people and sat there when they say, oh yeah, we were mutually agreeing, you know, we got married for the wrong reason, we moved on, and it was better for both of us. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. If you've had a divorce and you stood in front of God, your family, and yourself and looked this person in the eyes and said, I do for life, your self-esteem is going to take a huge hit when you walk away and say, it didn't work out. And that doesn't mean that you have to be devastated for the rest of your life. It means, though, that you got something to learn about you. Once you learn it, here's the secret. Help other marriages stay together. So that's going to be mine. Mine is going to be, if I want this to be a long term and keep going, I got to stay engaged in learning about what is it that is next for us. What is, you know, what can I learn from these couples that have been married 60 years? Is to keep engaged in learning relationship, marriage, you know, success tools. What would you say?
Well, I think it's really important to stay in the now. You know, that there's nothing more that you need. There's just a remembering of what it is that you desire, and know that there's no different desire in your partner. There's a desire to love and to be loved. And when that isn't present, it's hell. It's hell on earth. And when it's present, it's heaven. And to treat the other person in the way that you want to be treated. And I think the telltale sign, in addition to how do I feel, what is their face saying? How are you landing? Are they responding with joy? Are they thank you? Or are they protected because of another blow? Or another jab?
So the number one you'd say is to remind yourself that you came to this for love, and so did your partner. Mm-hmm. So to meet them there. Mm-hmm. And then to...
And that's not to say that you can't have feelings about unresolved traumas or issues from childhood. To be able to not react it out and put it on them to figure out for you, and to just to say, I'm hurting. Will you come be my spouse with me in this? Instead of making them the enemy,
right?
That's heaven.
Now, what do you do if when you come to your partner, the way you express, I need your help, shows up like you're the problem? So if I come to you and I'm like trying to say, you know what, gosh, I'm really struggling with this and I need to talk to Tamara about it. And the way I come to you is kind of like, you know, all you're hearing is that you're the problem. What can you do in a situation like that where you're just stuck banging against each other?
Well, you look at their face and go, oh my gosh, you're not experiencing love. And that was not my intention. I'm hurting. There's nothing wrong with stating your feelings about what's going on with you and say, how can we look at this together? How are we in partnership together? How can we put the problem outside of us instead of me put it in you?
And what would you say about venting? You know, there's people that either implode or explode. Mm-hmm. You know, and the definition of anger is a thwarted desire. And the definition of depression is anger turned inward. Mm-hmm. And everyone listening here is either of the exploding or the imploding kind. So they're either going to act out, which often could be in the form of an affair or violence or something like that. Or they're going to act in, where they go into self-blame and criticism. But what do you, when your partner is, you know, more of the fiery style, what do?
You use I statements. Mm. I'm feeling this. The minute you say you, there's blame and judgment.
Right.
You this, you that now, and you can own everything. I am insane right now. I am nuts. I'm hurting, and I'm vent as much as you want. Let your partner comfort you.
And I know that sometimes I'll come to you and I'll say, you know, I have an intention that this marriage is beautiful and fantastic and I'm really struggling with this and that can work. And it totally will attest. The you statements just get nowhere. It's just a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. So closing thoughts, Tamara, what would you like to close with tonight?
I kind of like to close with what we started with, is that the opportunity inside of a marriage, of a committed relationship between lovers, is holy ground. And it is one of the most holy experiences that we can ever have on this planet. And I think that's why everybody's always looking for somebody, or they're with someone, or they just say, sour grapes. I couldn't have one. I don't need them anyway. But we all long to connect and experience ourselves as one. And we can experience the oneness through one person. And when we learn to love the one person fully and completely, life is pretty good.
Your bottom line, love. You're either loving or you're insane. And you can tell by your feelings, you know, and that's really the truth. I know when I'm not being loving and I've got all kinds of distress and everything else. And I got to go back and say, what would love do now? And then go do it. And then there's times when, you know, it's just like I'm just crazy and ragged and just to out myself and return to love. So there's our evolution. And we really appreciate you guys listening. And we look forward to talking in the future.
Thank you, Ronan. He's our producer. And a shout out again to Max. You guys have an amazing week. And take this to, I think Max says, take it to the max. And join in with Max and friends next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Western time and 9 p.m. Eastern. So thank you again for tuning in, guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a great therapist, Tamara is the best. TamaraMontana.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Max. We love you guys.
Max and friends, he said.